In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, in the 6th verse, the prophet wrote, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." I want to speak to you, if God will help me, for a few minutes on the subject of silly sheep. Silly sheep. The Bible is full of references to sheep. There's 187 references in our English Bible to sheep. There are 83 references to shepherds from Genesis to Revelation. The inspired writers spoke often about these filthy, feeble, meek creatures and those faithful guardians who care for them. I want to speak to you, if I can, a little bit on the dangerous tendency of sheep to wander and stray from the safety of their shepherd's care. This has been the most difficult year in my life. I have dealt with all kinds of problems that I never expected to deal with, at least not at this point in my life. And I found out one thing is consistent, that the shepherd never leaves his sheep. No matter how much we wander, he finds us. And so I want to talk about these silly sheep for a lot. I like sheep. My grandfather raised sheep. As a little boy, I can remember fooling with sheep. And they are silly creatures. And if you ever had any dealings with them, they really are. They're about as stupid and nasty and pig-headed. They're the most self-destructive critters on earth. Just like God's elect in this world. The first thing I want to share with you is that these sheep may be silly, but they're still sheep. All we, he said, like sheep, have gone astray. First of all, these sheep have never been goats. Never. Ephesians 1:4 says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." The religious world in America in 2010 is populated with plethoras of evangelistic stalwarts who are busy at their work of changing goats into sheep. And when they get through changing goats into sheep, all they've got are fuzzy goats. And they prove it. These sheep never have been goats. And these sheep never will be goats. 1 Peter 1:2:25 says, "For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul." God has his people, and he's going to find his people, and he's going to claim his people, and they're going to be his people. No matter what they do. I know that gets under our legalistic hides, but it's still the truth. God's genetic order is never violated in either natural or spiritual issues. If you try to cross up critters of the different species, it won't work. You know, that's why some animals' crossbreeds are sterile, because God's going to protect his genetic order. And sheep may act like goats, and goats may act like sheep, but that does not in any way change the reality that sheep are sheep and goats are always goats, and both of them will always be what they are. These silly sheep have at least four identifying characteristics I'd like to consider tonight. The first thing about these silly sheep is they're known by Christ. They're known by Christ. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I never understood that verse until 20, 30 years ago. I went to Israel, and I was up at the Well of Moses, they call it, and we were stopped there to get a bottle of pop, and there was four or five old Bedouin shepherds out there, and they had, must have been 300 sheep standing out in the middle of the road, you know, just milling around in front of the bus. We couldn't go anywhere if we wanted to, and those fellas, I thought, we never are going to get out of here. And finally, those old fellas were smoking their water pipes and gibbering and jabbering, and pretty soon, they all headed off in different directions, and as they started to go, they were, and all those sheep just scattered. And they all followed their own shepherds. And I'll tell you, Christ's sheep are going to follow the shepherd. They don't have to be driven. They don't have to be beaten. Goats, you can drive goats. You can't drive sheep. Sheep will follow the shepherd. They will. The second thing about these sheep is they all know or will know Christ. Not only does He know them, but they're going to be brought to the place that they know Him. John 10:4 says, "When He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice." If you're listening to me in this place tonight and you're a child of God, it's because you've been a sheep from the council halls of eternity, and there came some point in time when the shepherd said to you, "No, no, 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 no," here you came. These sheep always, always follow the shepherd when they're called. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, I'm sorry, folks, but I know some of you don't like to be called Calvinists, but I'm such a Calvinist, I'm naming my next dog Tulip. I don't believe that anything happens without the sovereign God of heaven ordering it. I don't believe it. Not a thing. Not a thing. And the sheep are going to follow the shepherd when they hear His voice. Without exception. It's not a matter of if you do this or you don't do that. When He calls, they're going to come. They're going to follow Him. The fourth thing about these sheep that are His sheep is His sheep will never perish. Now, if we're not careful, we preachers and churches are pretty quick sometimes to write folks off and kick them off in the ditch and say, "Well, so much for him. I knew it wouldn't last." Well, we get so hung up on this holding out faithful to the end. I got news for you. If you hold out faithful to the end, it won't have a cotton-picking thing to do with you.
Amen.
It'll be because somebody holds on to you and pulls you. Because you're like them sheep. You're going to go off in a hole somewhere if you left yourself. These sheep will never perish. They've been ransomed. They've been redeemed. They've been regenerated. They've been reclaimed. And they've been restored. Jesus said in John 10:28, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." We must remember that the purpose of God is always as sure as if it had already taken place. I mean, I hear people preach and they act like that Lamb's Book of Life that the Lord inscribed before the foundation of the world, that there's a possibility that some of them won't get in. Let me tell you something. I use this term, and some people don't like it. That's okay. If you don't like it, don't listen to it. But I got news for you. I was justified eternally. There's a very real sense in which I was justified the very instant in the council halls of eternity when God chose to make me one of His own. And Jesus Christ paid the complete and absolute full debt for all my sins, including the ones that I haven't committed until tomorrow, at the cross, and they're satisfied, and I don't need to do anything else, and he doesn't need to do anything else. When God says something's going to be done, it's done as much as if it's already done.
Right.
Hebrews 4:3 says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now we go build a house and we start piling up concrete and boards and nails and roofing material and paint and stuff, and we got this vision in our mind. I think I know what this is going to look like when it gets finished. If you ever built a house or a building, you will find out that when it gets done, it don't turn out just like you aimed for it to. But I got news for you. God's never built anything. He's never planned to build anything. He's never intended to build anything that it didn't get finished exactly when he wanted to, where he wanted to, why he wanted to, how he wanted to, and exactly the way he wanted it to. Now let me say this about these silly sheep. They're just being sheep. Most people have a very invalid perspective on who and what they are. And we act like we're surprised when somebody stumbles and falls. But you shouldn't be. Because sheep are just sheep. These silly sheep have a nature that causes them to stray. I'm a saved man. I'm standing before you tonight, clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you can cast all the rocks at me that you want to, but as our brother has already said tonight, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You can stick your tongue out, spit at me, throw rocks at me, throw cans at my car, and God won't care. He ain't paying a bit of attention to you, because he's satisfied with my Savior. And when I go astray, he's not the least bit surprised. Psalm 14:3 says, "They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." The 119th Psalm, the 176th verse says, "I have gone astray like lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." These sheep stray. They stray from the shepherd's tender care. Now, I might be the only cowboy in the bunch here, but I'm going to tell you that I have strayed from the shepherd's care. Not once or twice, but a couple of million. I lost count. My number skills aren't that good. We stray from the shepherd's tender care. He allows us to do that for his own good and for his own purpose. They stray from the safety of the fold. You know, most of our churches don't really grow. People just move from one church to the other one. You know, it's the same 2,000 people. They just move from here to there. You know, they move from, you know, from First Baptist Church to Second Baptist Church to Fourth Baptist Church, and then they get back to First Baptist Church because they found out Third Baptist Church went out of business, and the rest of them all the same anyway. And God's people, if you're not careful, there's an awful lot of people in this day and time. For a lot of reasons, some valid, some invalid, have completely given up on the church and have gone out there and they're trying to make it on their own. And those poor sheep are like sheep straying in the buckberry bushes. They're doing it to the loss of their own comfort and their own consolation and their own blessing. But they do stray. And they stray from the green pastures of God's provision. I never have understood why. A friend of mine was telling me the other day he went skydiving. I never have really understood why anybody would on purpose jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And I never have understood why anybody, now if I'm picking on somebody, y'all just ignore me. I never have understood why somebody would eat something like okra or beets or turnips. Or chicken livers. Don't these people know that God made bologna for the elect? But God's sheep stray. They get out of the green pastures and go off and eat buckberry bushes. They go over and eat thorns. Chew on locust trees. These silly sheep have a nature of instability, even the best of them. Let me tell you something. The soundest, strongest spiritual person that you know of is about one heartbeat away from falling apart. From falling apart. Now, I don't want to get off on a side trip, but God just took the only thing away from me on this earth that I love. And He had a purpose in doing it. And I praise Him in it and rejoice in it. And I wouldn't bring her back for all the tea in China and the gold in South Africa, but I sure would like to go where she is. But there have been so many times during the weeks, long days and long nights of her illness when I sat and held her hand and felt the life going out of that beautiful person, that I have to admit to you, as much as I believe in the sovereignty of God, there were several times I cried, God, why? You know why? Because I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. They're weak. They're feeble. They're frail. They're skittish. Man, you can throw a firecracker in a bunch of sheep and they'll go nine different directions. They're hilarious. I used to do it. They're timid. And they're panicky and they're irrational. You know, sheep can't take care of themselves. They're totally defenseless. The only defense they have is to run. And when they run, they overheat and have heart attacks and die. Philip Keller, in his book on the shepherd and sheep, tells a story about how that one night two dogs, killed 292 sheep. Because these sheep, God's sheep, are personally depraved. And I got news for you. I've been preaching the gospel for 40 years, and I'm as much a sinner today as I was the day that God turned my heart inside out and opened my eyes and made me see His glory. Genesis 6:5 says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Psalm 58:3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But they're still sheep. Silly sheep. Straying sheep, but still sheep. I know my sheep. I know my sheep. The third thing I want to tell you is that these silly sheep are totally dependent on their good shepherd. The prophet said, all we, huh? That's a man's man right there. You know, I love to hear him tell stories. Peter Halliman, you are totally dependent on Christ. You are. Old Jerry Gunn back there, he's tougher than a piece of oak barn board. About 6 or 8 months ago, he found out barn boards will splinter. He needs Christ. And you need Christ. And I need Christ. And all God's sheep need Christ. These frail creatures depend on the shepherd for everything. If you'll stop and think about the 23rd Psalm, all it is a menu of things that we as God's sheep need and that God gives us in His Son. He gives us life. I get sick and tired hearing these Armenians talking about how they just talk somebody into being born. I can just see me. I just see me when I was born laying in that basket up there in that hospital around the nurses and things. Boy, I bet y'all glad I showed up today, aren't you? We can't be born, we can't have life without Christ. He's our provision, everything we have. I like that story Ezekiel told about that old bloody baby thrown out there in the yard, you know. A human baby is the only thing I know of on earth as defenseless as a lamb. We need him for direction. We all think we know where we're going. We don't even know what we're in or where we are, where we've been without him. We need him for protection. Without the shepherd, the sheep are just lamb chops on a plate waiting for the coyotes. We need him for fruitfulness. I believe God's sheep bear fruit. But they don't bear fruit without a shepherd. They need pardon. They need cleansing. They need healing. And sheep more than anything else. Now listen to me. I grew up with them smelly little critters. More than anything else, sheep need peace. They need peace. Left to themselves, these sheep will wound themselves. They will disfigure themselves. And eventually they'll destroy themselves. Sheep, you ever hear this term? Talk about sheep casting themselves. Sheep are designed to be fleeced. And when a sheep gets too much wool on it, they've got little spindly legs. You ever see a sheep that's just been shorn? They're the most pitiful looking thing you've ever seen in your life. But when they get a full coat of wool on them, if they get wet and they get on a steep hill and they turn over and they fall on their back, they'll lay right there and die. They'll kick and paw and they'll struggle and they'll strain and they'll blate and they'll hoop and they'll holler and they'll lay there and die. Because they can't get up. They can't get up. And they're unstable because the unbalanced state of their physical structure. And I got news for you, child of God. You are unstable by the nature of the fact that you've got an old man with a new man inside of him. You've got a holy man living in a carnal man. You've got a righteous man living in an unrighteous man. You've got a godly man living in an ungodly man. And you need the shepherd to take care of you. I'll tell you something else about sheep too. I always hear this stuff about, well, you know, old Joe, he's got baptized when he's 10 years old, but he's been a sot drunk ever since then. But, you know, when he dies, they'll come by the coffin and say, well, you know, he was a good fella. I'm convinced bad people never die. Everybody that I preach a funeral for, no matter how sorry they are, people come by and say, well, he's a good fella. But, you know. But sheep, when they stray, they don't come back by themselves. They must be sought by the shepherd. But I will tell you a little secret. If they're his sheep, he'll seek them. They must be not only sought by the shepherd, they've got to be caught by the shepherd. Them crazy sheep, they won't come back to the place where they got food and shelter. They'll run like a rabbit. The shepherd has to catch them. And sometimes he has to catch them, grab them by the legs and throw them over his shoulders and carry them back because they have to be brought by the shepherds. But then one more thing, and I quit. These silly sheep are very precious to the shepherd. We pastors sometimes forget the people we preach to and the people we deal with are precious to the God we say we love. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord Jesus Christ has spent all he has to procure those sheep and to provide for them. He said, John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I tell you what, if a fellow died for me, I believe I'd think highly of him. But if I'm nothing more than a maggot and the Son of God, the Son of God gave himself for me, I believe I'd bow down and exalt him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." He has spent eternity preparing for them and providing for them in order to make them acceptable to the Father. I was sitting in the hospital waiting room over at the UK hospital one day, and I was talking to a fellow, and he found out I was a preacher. I try to not tell people I'm a preacher. I know some of you fellas running around with pens and badges. I try to keep it quiet as long as I can. It just causes too much controversy. And this fellow found out I was a preacher some way, and he said, "I've been a Baptist all my life, but I don't believe half that stuff you do." And I said, "Well, that's good. I don't believe half stuff most Baptists believe myself." And he said, "I sure don't believe in this once saved, always saved stuff." And I said, "You don't?" I said, "Who saved you?" He said, "The Lord did." I said, "Well, you think he fails?" "Oh, no, the God of heaven never fails. The Lord never fails." "Well, if he saved you and he never fails, then it looks to me like you're pretty well in." God spent eternity preparing to save his sheep. And he spent history bringing them to himself and providing for them and making them acceptable to the Father. That's what this whole thing's about. That's the only reason this world exists. That's the only reason he made this world. He has purposed to make them his joint heirs. His joint heirs. I don't think I've ever inherited anything from anybody except a few bills. But I'm going to be a joint heir of heaven. Do you know that? I'm a silly, stinking sheep. You know, I smell bad on both ends. And I'm dirty in the middle. And I'm going to be a joint heir of the Lord of glory. And he's going to glorify me. One of these days he's going to march me before the Father and say, "There he is. You chose him. I died for him. The Holy Spirit got him. There he is." All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, this is a warming thought. Isn't it a blessed thing to be God's child? You'd be surprised. I'm sure I'm going to shock you when I tell you this. There's 300,000-400,000 people in Lexington, Kentucky, and I think you're fools. You're wishing a perfect good night of high school football and good television and maybe some ribs over at the Logan's Rib House, sitting in here listening to one good sermon and one blathering fool. For what reason? Because it feels so good. It feels so good. I've told this story to several people, and all the time during my wife's illness and during the time of her passing, there was a song that I would find myself singing. I looked up one day, I forget how loud I sang. I was singing it in the ICU at the UK Medical Center, and I looked around, people were looking in the doors like I'm crazy. I probably am. But the song says, "Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he would. Even in the valley, my God is good." This is a warming thought. It's also a warning thought. If you're here tonight and you don't know you're one of his sheep, if you think you're still one of those special exalted creatures that God's going to have to do you a favor and let you be on his roll book, let me tell you this, you better find out who you are, and you better find out whose you are. Because I can tell you, I sat in the hospital for 2.5 months, and I watched people die I told my wife one day, I said, I think you're Typhoid Mary. I said, everybody they put in the room next to you dies. I said, I ain't moving in the room next to you. In fact, I'm thinking about leaving here right now. I tell you what, I saw people come in the hospital. For things that you all wouldn't even think were bad enough to go to the doctor and die 2 days later. You better find out who you are and whose you are. To you who are pastors here, I tell you, God will hold you responsible for the care of His sheep. I don't mean, and all these preachers think, my job on earth is to straighten them out. You better shepherd them and let God straighten them out. Over where I live, when I was a little boy, there was a rich man over there, had one of the biggest farmers in the county, and he raised sheep. He raised sheep and nobody else raised sheep. People quit raising sheep over in my part of Kentucky because of dogs more than anything else. People started building subdivisions. People had dogs. They'd get in and tear the sheep up. Mr. Odd Elliott was this fellow's name. If you went to work for Odd Elliott, the first day that you came to work for him, he gave you a rifle, and it was loaded to the gills. And he said to you, he would tell you, if you see a dog cross my property line, you are to shoot it. Graveyard dead on the spot. No questions asked. No reprieves. And if he found out that you didn't shoot that dog, he fired you on the spot. So why is he so serious about that? Because he had fields full of sheep, and he loved those sheep. That old man loved those sheep. And he wouldn't go see those sheep tore by a bunch of dogs just to be able to get along with his neighbors. You who are God's preachers better take care of God's sheep. And then this is a watching thought. Because I got news for you, friend. The King is coming. I'm not sure what the schedule, the agenda, or what flight number it's on, but I tell you, He's coming. Amen. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:25, "For you were sheep going astray, but you're now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." The writer of Hebrews said in chapter 13, verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." All we, that's me, Frank, Brother Hallman, Brother Gordy, Brother George, Brother Green back there, Brother Gum, all these sweet ladies, all we, like sheep, like sheep, bah, I dare you, do it, bah, bah, see your sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I tell you what, I'm sure glad he did. Thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Frank. No, you come. I'll fall on you. Huh? Be a good idea.
For the service, though, like I asked all the ministers here, the preacher, pastor, missionary, whatever.